It's also great to be with you today, and as Jason is away this weekend. And you might remember last weekend on Sunday, Jason talked about the Gospel of Mark being one of like the superhero action gospels because it's so fast. Like it just moves from one thing to another so quickly that it is a fast-paced gospel. It's like one that's easy to read. It's really short. One thing happens after another. The Gospel of Mark takes no time at what we might say in the South, dilly-dallying in a story. Just one thing after another, after another, after another. It's as if the Gospel of Mark, if you read it closely, is trying to tell us something about the urgency of Jesus' mission, that he's coming to bring the kingdom of God in this world, and it's coming quick and fast, and it's on its way. It is a fast-paced gospel. In the very first chapter, Jesus shows up and is an adult. He is baptized. He's sent into the wilderness for 40 days. He's tempted by the devil. He travels to Galilee. He calls his first disciples. He teaches in the synagogue. He casts out an unclean spirit. He attracts people in a following of people coming to him. He goes to Peter's house. He heals a woman. He casts out demons. He gets more people to come. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. That's chapter one. That's chapter one. It happens so quickly. There's so much that goes on. It's because Jesus, I think, doesn't want to appear. It's not like he's appearing busy like we might appear busy these days, but he wants to show that this mission that he's on is urgent. It's important. The very first thing that Jesus says in the Gospel of Mark is that the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe this is true. It's as if Jesus is acting it out. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe this is true. And then he goes into action. Over and over again, Jesus continues to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God coming near, especially in the Gospel of Mark. And this kingdom of God isn't just a place. It's not like somewhere you can go. The kingdom of God that Jesus is bringing into the world is more like something you can believe in, something you can live into, something you can have trust and faith in, where God's way of justice, peace, mercy, love, all of those things are here for us, that God's power and authority is here for us, that it's in this place, that it's here in this church, and that nothing can stop it, especially in the Gospel of Mark. Nothing's going to stop Jesus on his mission. He is on his mission, and it's urgent. And nothing will stop him, not demons, not sickness, not the religious leaders, not people who get in his way, not even sin and death will stop it. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is what Gospel of Mark wants us to believe, because it is urgent. We have to believe it now. We have to have faith and trust in it now. Because if you're reading the Gospel of Mark and you're living into this world that he's proclaiming, this kingdom of God, and then you happen to maybe stop for a moment and look up and watch the news or turn on the TV or read the newspaper or look at the internet, and you read story after story after story that will tell you something very different than the gospel. You won't believe that the kingdom's here anymore, actually. Like, where is it at? If Jesus has entered into the world and brought the kingdom of God, where is it? Over the past year, our rhetoric of hate has increased. Racism has increased. At least prevalence of it has increased. Homophobia has increased. Violence has increased. We begin to hate one another even more. Over the past year, people have suffered from illness and disease and sickness. People in our own families, maybe even you. People have, around this country, began to deal with the opioid epidemic, where people are addicted in ways that are hard to overcome. People are dying. People are distraught. People are living in conditions that they shouldn't live in. The people of Puerto Rico are still without power. Many people, million people, still without power. It just seems like if the kingdom of God is here, and the kingdom of God has come to take away those things, that the kingdom of God has come to share life and grace and abundance and hope, that it seems like where can you find it these days? Like if you just read the Gospel of Mark, it seems so promising and hopeful. It seems so real and true. It seems so urgent and it seems so powerful. But then when you look up into the world, it seems as if nothing has changed and nothing matters. It's as if we want to believe, but it is hard, hard to do so. Maybe that's why Mark writes with such intensity. Maybe that's why Mark writes with such force. Because Mark is trying to get us to believe something that's hard to see. Mark is trying to get us to believe in a Jesus whose authority and power is evident and real, even when we can't see it really in this world, that it is a true thing, that it is a real thing, that the kingdom of God actually is here. Maybe that's why the Gospel of Mark writes with such intensity and force, because he wants us to see that the kingdom that God intends for us to live into is not the kingdom that we're living in now. And Jesus has shown up to show us what this kingdom looks like, what God's kingdom looks like. It's not that the kingdom has come to make everything better, but it is that the kingdom has come to give us an inspiration of what it can be. That the kingdom of God is real and powerful in this world because Jesus has brought it into this world in his very life. Then this kingdom is not a kingdom of hate. It is not a kingdom of violence. It is not a kingdom of sickness and disease. It is not a kingdom of oppression. It is a kingdom of love. It is a kingdom of forgiveness. It is a kingdom of grace. It is a kingdom where demons are banished and the captives are set free and the justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like an everlasting stream. It is in this kingdom where the weary are raised up to fly on eagle's wings, where the young and the old can run and not faint. This is the kingdom. It's a kingdom of hope in the most hopeless places. It does not mean that Jesus' kingdom has come to take everything and make it all better for us. It doesn't mean that following Jesus, all of a sudden, we're happy and everything's great. It means that in Jesus' kingdom, the powers of this world, the powers of oppression, the powers of addiction, the powers of disease, the powers of sickness, the powers of evil, the powers of sin, have no final authority and have no final say. That's what it means to live in this kingdom. And that in the end, God's kingdom will prevail. Not just in heaven, but on earth. And we know what it looks like because we know Jesus. It looks like the demons are cast out. It looks like the oppressed are set free. It looks like the hungry are fed. It looks like the thirsty are giving water. It looks like those who are naked are clothed. It looks like those who are hurting and lonely have someone to be there for them. It looks like a kingdom of good news, of grace and love and mercy. We know what it looks like because we know Jesus. And Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark, begins to ask people to join him in this kingdom when all around them it looks like desolation and despair. He calls other people to join him, to believe beyond doubt, to believe even what they do not see, to believe that this kingdom is real here for us now. So he calls Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and all of the disciples. And as he goes from town to town and he casts out demons and he heals the sick, he begins to say, this is what the kingdom looks like, people. So join in. And then the disciples begin to cast out demons and heal the sick and care for the poor. Then the disciples begin to take over and live into this kingdom, living as if it's already here, living as if it's already fulfilled. And on one of the first places they go to Peter's house, where Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. And she's laying there. And in Jesus' day, if you have a fever, that is pretty much a death sentence in some ways. So they are terrified that Peter's mother-in-law is going to die. And Jesus walks into the room. And immediately he grabs her hand and raises her up. And she is healed. And her fever is gone. And Gospel of Mark, of course, is so fast. It's like she immediately gets up and immediately starts to serve people. Like, it's immediate. Jesus raises her up, and she immediately joins in. And the most fascinating thing there is the word that's used in the Greek that, to raise her up. That part, raise her up, is the same word for resurrection. It's the same word used when Jesus is raised. It's like she's given new life and lives a new life. So when she is raised up, she all of a sudden walks into the kingdom of God and joins Jesus on the mission. And she begins to serve the sick and the poor. She begins to serve the people in her house. She begins to make sure people have food and water. I can imagine that she's there just serving people, joining in what Jesus has already been doing. It says in the scripture, that night, the entire town showed up at Peter's mother-in-law's house. The entire town showed up. And I can imagine Peter's mother-in-law, she is there serving all of those people because she's living in the kingdom. I can imagine that she's cleaning their wounds. I can imagine she's giving people food. I can imagine she's hugging those who are lost and alone. I can imagine she is there doing the work of a disciple, doing the work of someone who lives in the kingdom. She's there. And I actually think she's probably a better disciple than Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Because if you keep reading in the Gospel of Mark and you go to the end, you find Jesus hanging on the cross, where it looks like the kingdom of this world has won. It looks like death has won, and Jesus' mission is over. And his disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they're gone. But the scripture says there are women there. Women. Mary Magdalene. And the people that served him in Galilee. Maybe that's Peter's mother-in-law, because she served in Galilee. And she's there probably at the cross, looking at that death of Jesus, knowing and believing that that's not the end. That the mission of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, does not end there. Maybe she is there hoping beyond hope that that's not the end. Of course, we know it's not the end, right? We know the end of the story. We know that Jesus also is raised up, that Jesus also overcomes death. The ultimate thing that can separate us from God does not separate us any longer. To ultimately prove that the kingdom of God has the final say, that God has the final say in this world, that sickness, death, disease, pain and suffering, addictions, oppression, injustices, no matter what form, do not have the final say. The kingdom of God does, and it is proved in Jesus' own resurrection, who has overcome death itself. This is the truth of the kingdom, that the demons of this world do not win. That the demons you struggle with do not have the final say. That the addictions you deal with do not have the final say. That the pain and sorrows, disease and hurt that you deal with does not have the final say. The one who does is the one who is raised to life, who has overcome all sin and death for us, so that we too can join in the kingdom, so that we too can rise up and believe that the kingdom of God is here, so that we too can rise up and believe in the good news of the gospel of Mark is trying to teach us and tell us. So rise up, my friends, College Place, for the kingdom of God is here, right here. Rise up, my friends, and believe that that kingdom is here. Rise up and proclaim this good news Rise up and proclaim that the evils of this world do not have the final say. Rise up against racism and oppression and injustice. Rise up against hate and homophobia. Rise up against darkness and despair. Rise up and shine your light into this world and on this corner of Tate Street that needs more light these days than we know. Rise up and welcome in the strangers. Offer cups of cold water to the thirsty. Feed the hungry. Welcome in the poor. Rise up, my friends, and serve. Serve those in need. Rise up and live into the kingdom, for it's here, and it has come in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And nothing can stop it. So do not run, do not be weary. Do not faint. Rise up on the wings of eagles, knowing that your hope is in the God who has come to make it possible for us to live in the kingdom here and now. And you know, if you ever get discouraged, if you ever look out into the news and the world and you see and you wonder where this kingdom of God is, if you ever get discouraged, just start reading the Gospel of Mark again. You can read it all the way through if you want to. It's fairly short. But you know, if you don't have that much time, just read the first chapter, because that's where the good news begins. And I have a sneaking suspicion you already know how it ends.